today on Real Radio.
What if every church in the universe departs from pursuing God? Then we will follow God. Well, okay, how's that going to work? Bible, read it, believe it, follow Jesus.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In our Biblical Worldview Series and the Church Part 2, Pastor Jack continues by describing the church as a living, spiritual body and not the structure or building in which we gather. It's made up of individuals who have come to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He alone is our salvation. Today, Pastor Jack continues to answer what the Bible says about the church, that is, a God-centered citizenship, a family of faith and fellowship. Many believers, however, have been derailed by seeking a church more fitting to their lifestyle and led more by their desires and emotions. Pastor Jack warns us not to follow in their footsteps and to stay focused on the truth. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The church, as you should know by now, is not this building. It's not any building. It's not any structure. You are the church. Jesus does not dwell in buildings. He doesn't care about buildings. I mean, you must care to some degree in the sense that He's given us this building so we can have a roof over our head. And look at you. You have air conditioning. You have cushy seats, lumbar support. So He provides these things, and He has provided them. And we thank Him for it. But the best part about being here right now is what's going to happen in about 39 minutes, and that's when you're going to leave. I can't wait for you to leave. Because where you go out into the world, the church is infused in a couple thousand different directions. The church will be infused into the world. And that's when things start happening, man. That's when the church is what God ordained it to be. Please don't think that being part of the living, breathing, spiritual organism of the church is to come on in here. No, no, no. You get refueled in here. You get realigned. You get readjusted. You top off the tank. Soon you're going to go out there where it matters. Not that this doesn't matter, but the fuel is to be spent out there. Don't waste your time right now witnessing to one another. Witness to them out there. Witness to those that are lost. Go reach them, bless them. And that's, I'm sure, Paul's intent when he spoke to the believers, or to the non-believers, I should say, in Greece. Last time, really quick, together, we looked at this part one of our biblical worldview in the church. It was this. We asked this question, or we made this statement, what is the church? And we saw that the first mention of the church in the Greek, that is of the New Testament, was Jesus' famous statement in Matthew 16, 18. He says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, that is his statement, Peter said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock, the statement, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not prevail against it. And in that first point, what is the church? We looked at four things. The church, remember, is a God-centered citizenship of believers. We have a new passport. We have a new, the word is politic. We are governed by a greater power. We answer to a higher authority. This drives the world crazy. God's our judge. God is our king. God is our politic. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we looked at the divine spiritual life of the church. The second thing we saw is that God, or the church, has been God ordained as a family of fellowship. That the church is a family of people who fellowship around the name of Christ by the Spirit of God. And that those, listen, that those who know the Lord, the Bible tells us that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. There's a fellowship. Thirdly, we saw that the church is a God-ordained God-created relationship of faith. Everything that you and I are to be doing as a church is to be faith-related. Meaning, you and I should traffic in the impossible. Did you know that? I told you guys this before, but I love this quote. I love this from Warren Wiersbe. He says, if you can explain or define everything that's happening in your church, then God's not the one doing it. What's happening in your church should be something that wows you, not for goosebumps, not for having the hair stand up on your arms or the back of your neck. Oh, did you feel that? Did you feel that? Oh, we sang, oh, that song. Oh, did you feel that? What is that? I don't know what that, what is that? The truth of the matter is that the relationship of the body of believers in a God-centered fellowship should be all about you and I reading the Word of God and then being determined to go do the Word of God. And if you do that, you're going to be trafficking in impossible things. And that's where the Lord shows up. Well, I haven't seen God do anything in my life. Oh, I'm sorry. You've been sitting around, have you? Get up! Present yourself available to God and watch what He does. Get into those things that are impossible. If you're in a place where you've been reading and praying and seeking God and you've come to the conclusion, I can't do this, then you're in the right spot. You're in the right place. And then finally, last time we looked at this, the church is a God-protected gathering of saints. God protects His church. You say, Jack, I just read recently in the publication of the Voices of the Martyrs, a great website, a great newspaper, you should get that, vom.org, Voices of the Martyrs. There are more Christians being persecuted right now around the world than at any other recorded time that people know of because of technology. And they'll give a list of the years, in the last 10 years, somewhere between 300,000 Christians a year are dying for their faith in Jesus. You say, well, how did God help them? In this life, Jesus promised, we will have difficulties. But be of good cheer, He said, I've overcome the world. And listen, believers die. It doesn't mean God's abandoned us. What are we thinking? That because we believe in God, we'll live forever? Do you want to really live forever here in this place? Especially, you know, what's going on in the world around you? You really want that? You say, yeah, but I want to go. I mean, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go by any pain or suffering. Ah, then you're with me and you want the rapture to happen tonight. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, you know? And so I'm going to launch now part two of where we left off last time. Do you remember we showed you the clip? We won't show it tonight, but remember we showed you the clip where many young people today, 18 to 30-year-olds are saying that they left the church because you lost me. Remember that? Were you here? Yeah. All five of you were here last week. And the clip said, well, you lost me because I couldn't relate to you. You lost me. I don't go to church anymore. I worship God in my own way. You lost me because, and the blame is on the church. And look, I'm not giving the church in the world a free pass. There's a lot of reasons why churches need to get readjusted. We all need a revival in every church that seeks God. But don't think for a moment that you can go on YouTube and say, you lost me, church, because you couldn't relate to me. As though that is some sort of an excuse. That is actually self-justification, which is condemned before God. You can't say, well, you lost me. Listen, there's no excuse that we can have to say, I'm not walking with God, nor am I going to obey His word because somebody hurt my feelings. And we've learned this. You lost me, but maybe it was because, and I'm hypothetically saying now, I didn't make every effort to pursue God with all of my heart. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who, what? Diligently seek Him. Can anyone say, well, you lost me and I'm not walking with Jesus because it's the church's fault? Wait a minute, the Bible says I'm to pursue God with all my heart. What if every church in the universe departs from pursuing God? Then we will follow God. Well, okay, how's that going to work? Bible, read it, believe it, follow Jesus. God's word's eternal. Then someone says, you lost me, but listen, maybe because I didn't like what the rest of the Bible had to say regarding my lifestyle. And the Bible says in Luke 6:46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Then someone would say, you lost me, but maybe because I thought Christianity is some sort of an association or membership or some sort of spiritual club, and I failed to maintain my relationship with Jesus. And in 2 Peter 1:10, the Bible says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and your election sure. Listen, Christian, are you fading in your faith? Listen, I want to encourage you. Give all bit of diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Wow. Jude 21 says this. I love this verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's an awesome verse. Think about it. I'm looking for something to see this. Imagine this. There's a shadow, right? Is there a shadow on my face? Okay, look. Keep yourself in the love of God. That means you and I need to pursue the Lord. Paul said, I buffet my body. I bring it under subjection to the will of God. Watch this. Because if I don't keep myself in the love of God and I move out from that place, then I'm exposed to the elements. I'll get a sunburn, or I'll get hail storm falling on my head, or I'll... Do you hear what I'm saying? The Bible says to keep yourself in the love of God. So when somebody says, well, Pastor Jack, I gave up on the church. Why? Because it gave up on me. That's not an excuse. Jesus loves his church, warts and all. Let's remember that. So are you ready? Our second point is this, our biblical worldview and the church. Number two is, what is the church to be doing? Write that down. And remember, when I say the church, we looked at it last week together, the church is us, a living, breathing organism of believers. In 1 John 4:17, the Bible says, love has been completed or perfected, made real among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? How does that happen? Because as he is, so are we in this world. You guys, that is an awesome verse. Look at it. Love has been completed. It's perfected. How's the world going to know love? By the Christian among us. Watch, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We need not fear in the day when the church, when you and I as believers stand before God. Why? How can that possibly be? Because as he is, that's an eternal time statement regarding Christ. He never changes. So are we in this world. What does that mean? That Jesus Christ, his love, mercy, forgiveness, righteousness, his holiness, if the world is going to see it, it's going to see it through us who are the church. And that, my friend, listen, when you go to judge or to discern believers or a church, that's the criteria. Is it like Jesus? Granted, there is no perfect church. Last Sunday, sweet lady with her kids, she's been coming here for, this will be her sixth week, and she says, I just love this church. It's the best church. And when I hear that, I go like this. Oh, praise the Lord. That's great. But I always say, keep your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because it could be this weekend. Oh, Lord, may it not happen. But she could try to pull her car out of the parking lot after service, and one of you cut her off. And she'll start thinking, oh, the church ain't so hot after all. What am I saying? There are no perfect churches. And if somebody thinks they've got the perfect church, then something is very wrong regarding your perception. Because listen, God gathers a bunch of people together who need love and need acceptance and need care. I know, look at you. You guys are so cool. And you've got it all together. You don't need anything. Look at you. But a church needs, that is, a believer needs another believer. You know what, Kim? You sent to my house an encouragement letter. Note, card. I read that today. It got lost in my mail somewhere. You could have sent it a couple years ago. But you sent it to Lisa and I was reading it today. What a great thing, an encouragement. And that's the body of Christ relating and being together. I'm going to give you four other things right now to jot them down regarding our second point. What is the church to be doing? Number one, obviously, primary calling, the church is to be proclaiming the good news of Jesus, the gospel. That's the number one thing that we're supposed to be doing. Number one thing is to proclaim the gospel. Now watch, in everything that we do, we are to be proclaiming the gospel. Well, what if you have a youth car wash? Wash the cars and at the same time proclaim the gospel. What if we have a men's barbecue? Listen, have a men's barbecue and proclaim the gospel. What if the United States Marine Corps invites us down to Camp Pendleton to minister to the Marines down there? What did we do going down there? Give them the gospel. Whatever it is. You know who's awesome about this? It's amazing. Franklin Graham. You ever seen Franklin Graham on TV? CNN, earthquake in Italy. Franklin Graham, is this the judgment of God? Before I answer that, everyone ought to know in Italy that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for their sins and rose again from the dead. Did you know that he does that every time? I love that. That's exactly. What's the answer to that test? Before I answer that, I'm reminded right now that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and rose again from the grave to, oh my goodness, the presentation of the gospel, the presenting of the gospel. Jesus said right before he went back into eternity, into heaven, Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, speaking to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, which means we're all supposed to pray to see if we're supposed to stay, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age or the end of the world. You say, what can I do about that? The Bible says in Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. Stop at that comma. That's funny. Who's that over there? Well, it's Peter and John. Well, aren't those guys stupid? It says that they're untrained, that they're uneducated and untrained. You know what that means? It means that they had a Galilean twang. No, really, they had a Galilean accent from the people in the northern part of Israel. And they're looking, who's that? What is that weird? And I don't know what they sounded like, but Peter and John, would you all like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? They had some, and the educated of Jerusalem said, who are these people? But look at this, look what separates our earthly weaknesses and our earthly frailties. Look what it says. They marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. That's the key. Well, Pastor, I don't have a PhD. I don't care. Neither did Charles Spurgeon, by the way. Neither did Dwight L. Moody. Neither did Dr. Ironside. Some of the greatest men that God has used and women that God has used in history, just like these men right here. It's no excuse. It's awesome. God wants to use you. Every true Christian has a commissioning from the Lord, all of us. Look, we just asked you to sign up to pray for our team to China. You know what's cool about this? Jesus said, go therefore. You say, well, I'm not going, you know, I can't go, or I've got commitments. Fantastic. But watch, listen, everyone goes in some way, shape, or form. We're all going. I'm not going, but I'm going. Financially, I'm going to help them to go. And then you're going to pray. Everyone in the body of Christ, we are either senders or we're goers, but we're in the mix of preaching the gospel. The Bible says in Romans 10:15, how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. They've got to be sent. It's so important that the gospel is sent to the ends of the earth. I forget what year it was, but the United States Congress, up until something like 1960-something, from 1780, I think it is, the United States Congress had always budgeted every year in the national budget the production and distribution of Bibles around the world. Did you know that one of the first acts of Congress in the First Continental Congress, did you know that when we broke from England, one of the first orders of business, we ordered 20,000 Bibles from Denmark to be shipped to the United States. You know who did that? John Adams ordered that to happen. The order about separation of church and state. Those guys did that. That's amazing. Why? For the furtherance of the gospel. The next thing is this, living faithfully for Jesus. Present the gospel. What's the church to be doing? Now, you need to hear this because it's getting very cloudy. It's getting very, the water's getting very murky in our 21st century Christianity today. Number one, preach the gospel. Number two, living faithfully for Jesus. Faithful. Look, I don't care how good you can preach the gospel. Are you living faithfully for Jesus? This is not a mixed combo plate. Number one, preach the gospel. People can reenact that. People can do it in a movie. People can fake it. The Bible warns us that Satan has emissaries that work for him that are in pulpits or that are in ministry, and they're false. They can manifest themselves as messengers of light, and they work for Satan himself. Listen, preach the gospel is the primary number one thing, but that's not all. There needs to be a life associated with that, and that's faithfulness to Jesus. It's pretty hard to cheat on your wife when you're being faithful to Jesus. It's pretty hard to snort that line of cocaine being faithful to Jesus. It's pretty difficult to be viewing pornography on the internet and being faithful to Jesus. A life preaching the gospel and a life absolutely faithful to Christ. And when we sin, because we will sin, we'll trip up. We'll lose our temper, or we'll have a bad attitude, or whatever it might be. And God, it's awesome. God, the Holy Spirit, will convict us. We ask for him to forgive us, and then we ask him to strengthen us against those weaknesses of ours and get right back going again. You know what? Listen, you guys, are you listening? This is an amazing thing. We are, we say we love God, and we do. We love his word, and we study it. But many of us are still bound by an emotional state of theology, where our emotions trump our theology. Our theology should trump our emotions. See, what do you mean? What do you mean? Just like this. No one warded this off better than Paul the Apostle, in my opinion. Watch this. Here's how we are. We're walking with Jesus, things are going great, and we're walking in the Spirit, and it's an exciting day, and we're just waiting for the next divine opportunity. It doesn't matter if we're in the boardroom trying to pitch that idea or on the construction site. It doesn't matter. Our faith transcends all that stuff. And at any moment, we're ready. Lord, I'm ready. I woke up, and I'm ready, God, and I've dedicated my life to you, and I'm ready.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson called Our Biblical Worldview and the Church, Part 2. Thanks for listening today. It is Pastor Jack's desire that you would pursue uncompromising peace with all people, but that you would lean on other believers, solid believers, when you're dealing with the great battles in life. Today's lesson was just one in our series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues with a biblical lens, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, one of the more, shall we say, awkward moments when sharing our faith is simply getting that conversation started. Just breaking the ice. Wouldn't you agree with that? Well, here's one way. Tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs. If you've got the Real Life smartphone app, maybe you can show that to your friend. And if you don't have it yet, don't forget, it is a free download. Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app. If your friend is already a believer, direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.